This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And not the ending to the season that we all hope for, of course, but it is here the 16th of April. Hopefully, as you're listening to this, you've either finished your tax returns already or finishing them up. And, no more hockey to enjoy if you're a Caps fan, unfortunately. But we're here to cover the last three games of the season, finish up the season, and do a postmortem. And there's some other stuff I want to talk about as far as future episodes. We'll get to that towards the end. Pardon me. And of course, with us this week, as the mermaid is still on a leave, is Charlanne Forster. She C4, as we all still love to call her, because she's blowing up always with passion and information. Charlanne, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing quite well. And I need to make a small correction to what you said. You said there's no more hockey to enjoy. Correct. There is no more Capitals hockey to enjoy right now.
That's pretty
much. There is still hockey to enjoy.
Right. Now, Well, that's pretty much what I meant. If you're a Caps fan, it's probably not anything that you would enjoy seeing other teams being successful. But yes, there is still hockey to watch and to be enjoyed. But not from a Caps perspective. So yes, there is, that is correct. So pardon me again.
If it's hockey and I can get at, and I have access to it, I'm going to watch it.
Definitely. Although I would say that, not to get on no tangent before we introduce our special guest for this episode, the one thing I would ask if you're going to partake in that, I would like to call on all Caps fans to boycott anything broadcast through ESPN, not necessarily ESPN Plus, but the regular ESPN, because I think if people stay away from that, it sends the message to them that their coverage is crap and caca and needs to improve, or they're going to lose viewers. And
I 100% agree.
Would like
ESPN,
to
The thing I like about ESPN Plus is it gives you the choice of, most of the time, it will give you the choice of broadcast. No, I'm totally agreeing with you. If it's on ESPN, I'm not watching it, which is why I'm thankful the actual finals, I believe, are on TBS this year.
TNT, yes.
TNT, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and while those guys can be a bit of a pain also, they're not nearly as awful in their coverage as ESPN. So I guess what you could say about them is they're a lot more tolerable. They are.
Yeah.
So, all right. But anyway, without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our very special guest for this episode. He's never been on before, but I've had several discussions with him. On Twitter, he often hosts Twitter spaces dedicated to both the Washington Capitals and other sports in the DMV, and I've had many discussions with him. He's been involved in many discussions about DMV sports, so consider him to be very knowledgeable. Been wanting to have him on for a while, and I thought this would be perfect to bring him on to kind of wrap up the season, give a final evaluation before what we expect to be a busy off season for the team. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Mr. Jeff Kravitz. Jeff, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Gil. How are you? And I really, really appreciate you having me on. It's an honor.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Doing pretty well. Where are you calling us from today?
My place in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Gaithersburg. Yeah, got a few friends out there. I believe the Deal family is out there, and I think Robbie lives over by there. Well, he's in Montgomery County too. Anyway, Robbie Gross. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He hosts the Sports on the Hill podcast. He's basically that show's basically our content partner. But yeah, they do a pretty good job as well. So if you're not familiar with him, I would suggest that just to give him a free plug. Are you familiar with Robbie at all, Jeff?
No, but now that you mentioned it, I'll definitely look into checking out that podcast.
Yeah. All right. Absolutely. He's not on Twitter as much. He has Twitter presence, but he's more on Facebook Live and the Twitch platform. So, yeah, do definitely. They're more comprehensive. We focus on hockey here at the Triple P. They do all DMV sports, Commanders, Wizards, Caps, DC United. And they even do stuff like once in a while, boxing, tennis, and specialty events like World Cup soccer they had last fall. So pretty good check out. Okay, so let's go ahead. Just get right into what happened on the ice. The final three games, as I mentioned, usually we focus on one game. We've got a little bit more time, maybe not as much as usual, but a little bit more time. I don't think any one of the three games really stood out, even though this first one against the Islanders was a win. But I think they all kind of had their good points and bad points. So they all deserve something of a decent rundown. So we'll start with the game last Monday against the Islanders, which was, of course, a 5-2 win. Dylan Strome had a great week. He continued his hot streak, opened the scoring with his 22nd goal, 36 seconds in the bizarro McNugget minute of the game, 36 seconds in the first, and then barely 30 seconds later, Rasmus Sandin made it 2-0. Pretty hot start for this team, real surprising. I don't think this was Ilya Sorokin's best game, really.
No.
But, yeah, they jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and then Craig Smith, 13-13 in the first, made it 3-0 by the end of the first for the Caps. And before you could say, what the fushing, Caps were ahead 3-0, had the game pretty much won. Second period, no goals. Speaking of Mr. Fushing, he made it 3-1 for the Islanders, 14-52 in the third. And let's see. And then... game was pretty much wrapped up by then, but the Islanders tried a bit of a gambit to keep their playoff hopes intact. And so they emptied their net, and then Tom Wilson got his 11th with the empty netter. And then it kind of devolved into a back-and-forth game. Casey Cizikas got one 59 seconds later to kind of put a bit of a scare. And then Strome got his 23rd, also an empty netter, with a minute 10 left to ice it. For the Caps, three stars of the game, Darcy Kuemper, number one star, Smith, the number two star, Dylan Strome, the number three star. You can make a case for Strome being the number one, I think, but even so, I think that was pretty fitting. Darcy, the number one, I think he had a fantastic game stopping, 38 of 40 shots in this game. Only statistic I would say the Caps kind of were pretty blah on was a face-off dot, but sometimes you can get away with that in this league. 38.6% at the face-off dot in this game, and other than that, pretty good effort by the boys. 10 shots each in the first and second period, tailed off in the third. That would explain, you know, how the Islanders got a little close, but overall pretty good game, I thought. I assume the both of you, well, Cheryl Ann, I know you caught it because you were watching it with me with Sports on the Hill, the last period anyway. Jeff, I assume you caught the game as well?
Yeah, most of it.
Okay. What did you think of what you did see?
I thought it was, they were pretty impressive, especially given, you know, the Islanders are still fighting for a playoff spot. You know, Dylan Strome, I mean, you can't say enough about how great of a signing that was. And I know that I don't remember exactly what date it was during the summer that they ended up signing him, but I remember there were a bunch of Caps fans on Twitter who were, you know, screaming prior to that. And I was one of them. You know, you got to sign Dylan Strome. You got to sign Dylan Strome. Eventually they did it. And he's just been, you know, a revelation. I mean, great, great pickup. And especially the contract that they had him at, and obviously getting the extension done, is huge. And, he's versatile, you know, can play center or wing. So, can't say enough about him. Yeah. And, Kemper was outstanding. I think Kemper, I think with a lot of fans, has gotten somewhat of a bad rap this season, where a lot of the goals that he's let in, have not really been his fault, but, kind of have been attributed to him. And, you know, it's convenient for people to point out that, well, you know, last year, you know, yeah, he won a cup last year, but, you know, look at the team in front of him, you know, in Colorado. He had two of the best years of his career a couple years back with the Arizona Coyotes. So, you know, he's been a good goalie in the league for a long time. And, you know, I thought he was kind of vintage Kemper on Monday night. He was outstanding. And I thought the team just as a whole, you know, Tom Wilson is really good. And obviously it just came out that, you know, he partially fractured his ankle in January. And, I know he's out for a few weeks, but, you know, I imagine it had been bothering him, you know, once he came back in late February, I think it had to be bothering him, you know, the rest of the season. And he played really well in spite of it. So, yeah, the team was, I thought that was an excellent effort. Craig Smith was really good in that game. It was an excellent effort.
Yeah.
Until the third period, that is.
Yeah, that third, they easily, you know, kind of tailed off. But, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Is that overall one of their better games to finish out the year. Certainly a lot better than, you know, that game in Montreal, against Montreal, that was just, you know, a complete, for want of a better word. So compared to that, yeah, it was nice to see something like that. I'm glad you said what you said about Kemper, because I'm beginning to see a lot more, you know, so-called experts on a lot of the other Facebook pages, especially that, you know, the Kemper signing was a mistake and he shouldn't be our number one goalie. And there's this growing movement, or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, Charlie Lindgren ought to be, you know, the number one goalie. And especially after, you know, the game that he had, the next game we're about to talk about here. I don't know if I agree with that, but there's a reason they signed him. He was the best goalie available, and I'd be willing to bet these were the same fans, or so-called fans, if I could be a little bit, you know, bitter about it and salty about it, that were complaining about Vanecek and Samsonov and how mediocre they were. So, I mean, compared to those two and the season they had, and yes, I get that they are each having better seasons now, but the problem, part of the problem is, like you said, Jeff, that they're now in front of better teams. And, you know, Kemper has 5 shutouts this year.
Most in the league or something?
It's either the most or the second most. I don't think between Samsonov and Vanecek, they had more than one combined. between the two of them last year.
So. Yeah.
So, I mean, what more do you want? I don't understand. I really don't understand what these fans are complaining about with Kemper. Could he be a little bit more consistent? Yes. Did he have his off games? Yes. But I think, go ahead.
No, I could kind of, I don't mean to interrupt, but I like Kemper. And I told you at the beginning of the season, my biggest concern with him was he's 32. I think he got overplayed a little bit, if that makes sense. I think there were times that maybe Lindgren should have, I'm not saying Lindgren should be number one, absolutely not. I agree completely. Kemper is our number one goalie. But I do think there were times he looked very tired and Lindgren, you know, should have maybe had a few extra starts just to give Kemper that little bit of rest, especially as it got closer to playoff time. If you want your number one goalie fresh for the playoffs, you should give your backup a little more time in the games leading up to it. Had we been in a position to do that, obviously we didn't make the playoffs. We weren't even close. I kind of had a feeling January, February, it wasn't going to happen. But that's my main thing. I absolutely 100% agree. Kemper should be the number one. But on the other hand, I think maybe he should have been rested a little more at certain times. I think he got a little overplayed sometimes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know that the coaching staff really had a handle on the goalie situation ever. After we finish recapping, we'll get into that a little bit more. But yeah, I think that plays a lot into what you said about Kemper scheduling. And I think as they go, well, I put it this way. I think Lindgren has more than proven himself to, at the very least, be a very capable backup. And in fact, in certain stretches, at least, you know, give him the responsibility of what I like to call the 1A goalie, where he starts a bit more than a typical backup. A typical backup probably gets into anywhere from 15 to 20 games, sometimes 25. I think Lindgren would be fine doing anywhere from like 25 to 35 games a year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I think,
which would give Kemper that little bit of rest he needs.
Yes, yes, and as he gets older, he's going to need that quite a bit more.
Yeah, yeah. Things don't move as well when you get into your mid 30s as they did when you're in your late 20s.
Well, things don't move as well when you get into your late 40s. As I'm walking, living, breathing, wheezing proof, or can be. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And look, I'm not saying Lindgren's a bad goalie or that he doesn't deserve his shot. I just don't understand all the hate towards Kemper. And
no, I don't either.
Frankly, it's getting ridiculous. And I think, look, if you're one of those and you're listening to this, I doubt you are listening to this and you are listening to this, please stop. Please stop relying on sound bites and hot takes and clipped replays, and try paying more attention to the actual game and watching the flow and the play that ensues that leads to the goal versus just the shot that goes in. Do yourself a favor and make yourself a smarter fan by paying attention to the entire game, not just 2.5 seconds of it. Because I think that's what these people are doing, unfortunately. So, all right. Well, speaking of Lindgren, he would turn around and start the very next game, which was yet another back-to-back home road back-to-back. I don't know how the hell I think the Caps should sue the league for abandonment or maltreatment or something. Cause this was like something like their 10th back-to-back and half of them were like this where, and Al Koken pointed this out before the start of the game that where the Caps would find themselves either, you know, on a back-to-back where the other team was waiting for them and had at least a full day's rest. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if this was by some sort of design by the team or what, but it needs to stop, because that certainly didn't help when you've got a roster full of, you know, 8, 9, 10 players that are missing double digit games for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was on to Boston and the TD Ameritrade Garden against the President's Trophy winning Bruins, the record setting Bruins. And we all kind of had this game as a write-off game because, you know, the Bruins have had such a great season. And I was pleasantly surprised by how they played them. But this being a back-to-back, you could tell that, you know, sooner or later the batteries were going to die out. And that's pretty much what happened. No goals in the first period. And then Caps kept giving up successive power plays. Marchand finally breaks through with his 21st. 8:32 in the second, give the Bruins the lead. Tyler Bertuzzi, makes it 2-0 on another power play goal at 14:20. And then Nick Jensen made it 2-1 about a minute later, 1:07 later. And that's how the period ended. Now, I don't know where it was. I can't remember where it was. Well, I can tell if I scroll down and find out when the switch was made. But this game kind of got crazy as far as all of the opportunities, the scoring opportunities. Okay, so third period, the Bruins started really pouring it on, and that's when Lindgren really started taking his game to the next level and made all kinds of crazy stops, fortunately or unfortunately, including one where he lost his catching glove. Now, fortunately, it hit him in his arm padding, not his hand. But then several minutes later, he kind of got twisted awkwardly, and it didn't help that Jensen kind of ran into him, but he made that scorpion save. And kind of got twisted up really badly. And there was a long consultation with head athletic trainer Jason Serbus. And I happen to have the volume down, but I could kind of sort of read his lips and say, I saw the words "come out" or "want to come mm-hmm. out" come from Serbus's mouth. And I knew then that Lindgren was finished for the game. You don't want to see that, but that was a great performance by him, and the credit to the Boston fans for giving him an ovation as he was coming off, because they certainly recognized great play, and props to them for doing mm-hmm. so. Sometimes don't like what they say and do, but I'll give them this much: they're a hell of a lot better than Penguins fans and even Flyers fans. So I'll give them their due here, because they gave one of our guys some love. So love that. Now, as far as the game finished, Kemper had to go in the last 14 or so minutes of the game. And at that time it was 4-1 Caps, I think 4-2 Caps. So they had a chance to get back in it, but then they shut the door with Jake DeBrus getting the empty netter, and Garnet Hathaway also scored. Tom Wilson actually pulled the Caps within one with a power play goal. And
that was pretty. Oh my God, that was pretty.
Yeah, it was. And so for as depleted as they were energy-wise, and personnel wise, because I think this is one of the games where they had to play 17 skaters, if I'm not mistaken.
This one, and I think the Islanders, we were down.
Both of those, they were down because of restrictions on call ups and salary cap issues. So I was very proud of the effort in this game, even though the score was obviously not what you wanted, and a tad bit lopsided, but this kind of effort against the President's Trophy winning team that a lot have favored of winning the cup. I very much enjoyed this game, and I kept saying, keep an eye on this team. They're going to make things fun to watch, and they sure did. They gave the money's worth for sure. So I was maybe disappointed in the result, but certainly not the effort. Jeff, did you happen to catch this game as well?
Yeah, I saw some of it. I did not see most of it. I did catch some of it. I did see the Tom Wilson goal in the third period. That was that was a beauty. And yeah, I mean, I overall, and then I caught highlights afterwards, and just finding out about the game flow. I did think it was a good effort. I mean, granted, I don't know if the Bruins had I guess they had the Presence Trophy kind of locked up, so I don't know how extremely motivated they might have been to play hard that night, but I thought it was a good effort by the boys, and it was kind of kind of frustrating that we didn't see more of that this year, and that it usually it seems like the past few several seasons the Caps kind of either play up or down to their competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty good observation, and I would agree that that's certainly a lot of what they've been doing, not only this season but the season before. And again, as we get into the recent developments, hopefully the coaching change, spoiler alert, will lend kind of a change in that approach, because if they had not played down or up to their opposition as much, they probably would have snuck in a few wins here and there that would have made them a little bit more competitive altogether. But it is what it is, and that's that's what we get. And I'm tired of relying on the injuries as an excuse, but it wasn't just the preseason injuries, probably more than anything, the midseason injury to Carlson, doomed their chances. And no less a man than Alex Ovechkin said so, because he could kind of tell a change in the spirits, as he said in his exit interview, when he went down in late December. So, again, you don't want to make injuries too much the excuse, but that certainly didn't help. But nonetheless,
it didn't. But then again, you look at Colorado, and they were just as they had just as many man hours out, if not more, than we did. And they're
that's camp, true.
Right?
That's very true. They've had Landeskog out for the whole year,
and he's out for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I just heard the other day. So you can't. Yeah, we had more people out, I think, but in terms of man hours lost or game hours lost, I think Colorado had it worse than we did. But which, again, is a whole separate conversation. It's not only the injuries. It's not definitely not the goalies. It's top to bottom. There is, and we'll talk about it, like you said, after we get through the games. But top to bottom, there is stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that leads us to our finale, which is the last, not only the last home game of the season, but the last game overall, game number 82, back home.
Talk about this one.
Well, okay, so yes, spoiler alert, it was another heartbreaker, a loss in overtime, but let's get through here. Another bang up start for the Caps, and we kind of thought maybe that New Jersey, with resting their number one, ironically enough, Vitek Vanacek, wouldn't take this game too seriously, because they knew that a win would put them at a possibility of winning the division and therefore facing the Florida Panthers, which they didn't really want to do, so I heard. And, but in any case, that was contingent on Carolina losing, which they didn't do. So Carolina ended up winning the division. Anyway, to get to the game itself, Joe Snively opened the scoring at 4:36 with his second of the year. Hard to believe that's only his second goal. But then again, he's only gotten into, what, a dozen games this year?
So, that.
Yeah. Sonny Milano on the assist.
Let's not get started on that right now.
Yeah, I know. So that that made it 1-0 Caps. Hang on just a moment. Okay, so all right. So 1 minute 23 seconds later, Rasmus Sandin on I think this was the broken play, and Backstrom had a shot at it, Ovechkin had a shot at it, and Sandin finally recovered it out front and snapped it in for his seventh, making it 2-0 Washington. And then at 10:18, Craig Smith, and I kind of like how this one happened. He tricked Jack Hughes into passing the puck to him. Smith was breaking towards the slot area, and Jack Hughes kind of had his back to the play, but he had the puck facing the boards, and he kind of tricked Jack Hughes into throwing in the puck by calling for it, and ended up getting an unassisted goal all alone and for his ninth. So
he did. He was talking to, was it Al Kokin during the intermission? He was telling that story. I nearly busted a gut laughing.
As a pretty savvy play up by him. I kind of wish we could keep Smitty. I really like him a lot. But
at least for another year.
At least for another year, maybe. But there's just too many forwards we have to replace. I don't think there's really room for him. And he's on the wrong side of 30, and he makes a little bit too much money for my liking anyway. So, but, yeah. You know, he'll be a great fit somewhere, I'm sure. But he was a great fit here. Just, you know, no room for him long term, unfortunately. So, all right. So that made it 3-0 Caps, and then Eric Halla made it 3-1 at 17:06. So the route wasn't on as much until 1:05 in the next period. Tom Wilson got his 13th. Tom Wilson finished the, like Strome, finished the season off pretty well, and which is great to see after coming off missing all that time. Jensen and Strome on the assist on that one. This is Strome's 42nd assist, actually. So he can definitely find you, and it was great that he ended up with over 20 goals. So I think what Jeff was saying before about that being the find of the offseason, Strome finished on a great high this year, and I think he put the exclamation point on that as far as it goes. I think he definitely solidified himself going forward, at least into next year anyway, as the de facto number one center. So I think if you pair him with Ovi and maybe Wilson or the other, you know, the right wing, a right wing of choice, I don't know who that would be going forward, but I think that's your number one offensive playmaker finisher duo going forward for sure. And I think Strome definitely solidified himself, which is great to see. Cause like I said, he's only going to get better. So that made it 4-1 Washington, and I'm losing my place here. What was it? Miles Wood. Miles Wood made it 4-2 Caps with his 13th of the year on a power play. Not much Kemper could do on this one at all. Neither in the Halla goal either. And this is what I was talking about. Okay. Halla was left all alone. If you see the replay, I mean the whole replay, how it developed, he had all kinds of space and time. All right. If you see how that play developed, Kemper did the only thing he could do was to come out above the crease and cut out the angle. This was how great a shot it was. Despite all that, Halla managed to put it in the one space where Kemper could not reach it. And that's that sweet spot in the crook of the arm, right between where the crook of the arm is and the shoulder blade.
Yep.
That
he just
is,
found that hole.
That is an NHL top of the line quality goal. I don't care who the hell you are. Vladislav Tretiak reincarnate. There's a blast from the past for anybody who's familiar. Would not have stopped that. I guarantee you that. So, again, a message to all the complainers. You get in there, you don the pads, and you try to do a lot better than a professional whose job it is to do just that and stop that kind of a thing. So, yeah, Craig Laughlin described it perfectly. He called it, he said, look, not much you can do. He put it in that exact spot as I just described it, and no way Kemper could stop it at all. Unless, and the guy's already 6'5". Well, you know, what do you want to do? Grow him another inch? Maybe. I'm sorry. I'm a bit salty at the attitude that, you know, the goalies are 100% the problem, and they're just not. And I'm astounded that we still have fans a year later, after everything this team has been through, that still believe that. And, you know, I would hope that they start to learn better, but I don't know. My hope is dwindling as far as that goes, because I'm seeing a lot of, frankly, stupidity on these other rooms. But in any case, so Halla struck again on the backhand, 317 in the third. Jack Hughes on the assist on that one, his 55th. Hughes, I told you last week, Jack Hughes was worth the price of admission. He was, except for that gaffe on the Smith goal, he was really gunning for his 100th point. And he damn near got it. He was definitely feeling it. But I told everybody last week he alone was worth the price of admission, and he had himself a game. I think he was jazzed at the thought of making 100 points and also being able to play with his brother. That. Right. More on that in a second. Dougie Hamilton gave the Caps the stomach pit drop of all time by tying the game 12-23 in the third. This one, I'm not sure if Kemper had more of a chance on this one. A lot of traffic in front. I'm not sure if he lost the puck or what happened. But, this one.
I'm not putting that one on him. I watched the replay a couple of times, and I don't think he ever saw it.
Yeah, it's hard to stop what you can't see. I think he just unfortunately lost it in all the traffic, which does happen if you're screened by not only your own people, but other bodies.
I really don't think he ever saw it, because I watched it from a couple different angles, and it's like, you could tell, because he just simply never saw it, because all of a sudden he hears the thing, the thing, and he's like looking around, and he's just like, oh, shit, you know?
Yeah. So. And it was Hamilton's 22nd. That's got to be, probably not tops, but pretty close as far as goals for a defenseman. So, again, not a scrub player that's scoring these goals and managing to get one past the goalie here. These are quality players that are supposed to be doing this. So that sends the game to overtime, and we were kind of hoping maybe it would go to the shootout and get catch a break there, but not to be. Caps had some great chances in the overtime, but
yeah, they did. That overtime was fun to watch.
It was.
That was probably one of the best overtimes I've seen all season, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was.
Was just fun to watch.
Very much exciting. Very fun to watch, as you said, but. Unfortunately, in the end, and I have to take the captain to task on this a little bit. It was, pardon me, it was kind of a bad play by Ovechkin at the offensive blue line that led to this. And I don't know if it was just a takeaway or a turnover or he just lost the puck, but he turned it over to Heischer, who got it over to Jack Hughes. And then it was a 2-on-1. And they got the initial shot, but then Luke Hughes recovered the rebound and wrapped it around and lifted it over Kemper for the game winner at 4:33. Yeah. Game over, season over. Drive carefully,
again,
everybody.
Nothing Kemper could have done about that.
Right. No, nothing at all. And a lot of folks on Facebook and Twitter were saying this was kind of a fitting end because, you know, what did the Caps in here? Was, you know, they put veterans out against the hyper fast youth and skill of New Jersey. And that did them in. They may not have been on a mission from God, but the Hughes brothers had their day. So
they did. And I'll give, you know, give credit where credit is due. Jersey played a hell of a game at the end. So
that they did. That they did for sure. So final rundown of the
funny.
What's that?
Some friends, I managed to get tickets for friends of mine to go. It was his it was a mom and son, and she wanted to take him for his early graduation, and it was his first Capitals game ever. And they left when it was 4-2, and that it's like, and I'm like, go back. Go back. You
two goal lead, three goal lead. Yeah, I'm sorry, but they made a mistake.
I'm not going to give them crap for it. It was their first game. They didn't know, they'd not been there before, so they were just trying to. And they both, of course, had to work in the early in the morning. But so
Mrs. Blue Liner, Mrs. Blue Liner, and I were.
They did have a great time.
Mrs. Blue Liner and I were contemplating grabbing a last second ticket to grab the game. But unfortunately, we both had somewhere to be early in the morning. And had it been a Friday night, you know, it would have been perfect. But yeah.
Yeah, I thought about it, too.
But four shots each. Four shots each in the OT for each team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it. This is probably the best OT they played all year, and 31 shots for the game. It was a typical Caps game. They jumped out to the big lead, and they let it slip away, and they got to overtime. And
too little, too late,
and just they didn't do all the little things to lock up the game, and yeah. They let it get away, and probably four or five of them like that. Again, it's the points that get away like that that add up, and at the end of the day, cost them. But honestly, you know, like you've been saying, Sherilyn, this is probably the best they could hope for in that, you know, they don't have that extra 2 or 3 weeks that they're playing and get their bodies even more banged up. They get that extra rest into the off season. So,
yeah, well, you know, especially the older guys are hurting.
Oh yeah, for sure. And there's already been articles about them and what they've gone through. So let's toss it over to our guest, Jeff. What did you make of this game? I'm assuming you caught at least some of it being the last one.
Yeah, I probably saw over half of it. You know, first half of the game was pretty impressive. Nice to see Snively score. I felt like he should have gotten more playing time this year, especially given all of the injuries.
For sure.
Hopefully he gets more time next year. That'll obviously depend on the coach and the roster and what role they might see for him, or you know, just how things shake out. But definitely want to see more of him. Really like the Tom Wilson goal. When Tom Wilson scores, they seem to be beauties. But overall, yeah, I mean, you know, as I think I tweeted late in the game or at the end of the game, you know, kind of summed up the season with, you know, blowing a 3-goal lead and a bad third period, and just kind of looked like they were kind of sleepwalking. And by the time I got to OT, I just kind of had a feeling of what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah. And that, that's pretty much how it went. Not for just this game, but all season. They had that mentality of, all right, let's get it to OT and see if we can get a lucky break. Well, you don't always get that lucky break in OT. And this was yet another example of that. So it's just, again, one of those things we're left scratching our heads and wondering, what could have been. And but the season's over, and now all we have left is some bad memories, bad taste in our mouth for sure, but not everything. Some good things. I think NBC Sports Washington did a pretty good job of wrapping it up. So now that we're actually here, with no Caps hockey left to play, let's kind of figure out what the next moves, if we can, are or would be for the Caps. Depending on how closely you follow. So here's where they're at right now. Day after the loss, as it turned out, so I've been reading in all the stories, Peter Laviolette actually initiated it, but the management and Laviolette agreed to part ways not renew the contract, as this was his last year. And depending on who you believe, the meeting was initiated by Laviolette. Honestly, I don't care whose idea it was at this point. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion. As Ted Starkey said more than a few times on Twitter, it was pretty much a hard sell to bring him back. The only plausible extension they could have given him, if they were even interested in one, was maybe a 1-year extension. And if you were him, would you take it? No.
Nope.
Too much uncertainty. So probably best to break ties now, start off new, maybe take a year off, but start looking for a new job now if he's so inclined. And as they say, he gone. The fate of per Sammy Silber, friend of the show, Sammy Silber, who's now with the Hockey News. Yay. The fate of the remaining coaches will be decided in the coming days. So I would expect to hear some sort of report or evaluation, if not Monday, then maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of this coming week. And I know a lot of you out there are on pins and needles hoping for a certain hairless power play coach to be given his walking papers and told to hit the unemployment line.
Please, God.
So that will, I'm expecting, we're all expecting something like that to come out during the week. So expect that. And as I've mentioned, a lot of the players have had their exit interviews posted. I'm going to proffer this one about Ovi's one. He looked, he definitely looked physically spent, but I think more than anything, he looked emotionally and spiritually spent. And obviously, losing your father is going to do that to you. But facing the prospect of, damn it, I'm not going to be playing any more hockey past first week of April, when he's so used to doing that.
For the first time in how many years?
At least 7 years. And 7 or 8 years, I think it is. I think it was 2014 when they missed the playoffs. So 9 years, actually. But you could see that this whole season had taken a toll on him, and he was badly in need of something of a recharge. So hopefully he finds whatever that is that lets him do that. Of course, the other thing with him is the goal record chase. He's 72 away. So there's still that, but I don't think that's as much on his mind as some would make it out to be.
No,
I still think that he's priority one is to make sure that his team is a contender and a winner.
Yeah.
And I think the fact
that he wants another cup
for sure. I think the fact that the Caps fell so far out of that weighed on him a lot more than I think a lot of people thought. So I'll proffer that. So I'm going to let the both of you start it. So my question would be this. So given the fact that, we got the lottery coming up, and then after the final game of the final series is played, the draft, and then a week after that is free agency. So now that the head coaching change has been done or is official now, and we'll start with our guest. So Jeff, what do you think should be the Capitals' priority now that they've hit their off season?
Well, I think a number of priorities. Obviously, finding the right coach, making sure it's the right fit. And obviously, you know, we discussed a couple names, whether it's, you know, Spencer Carberry because of his connection to Hershey, or Jeff Halpern, you know, who's in, obviously Carberry's an assistant in Toronto and Halpern is an assistant in Tampa. And I believe, if I've heard the rules correctly, you can interview an assistant coach once their team is eliminated. And, you know, oddly enough, the Leafs and Lightning are playing each other. So one of Carberry or Halpern are going to be available for an interview within the next few weeks. And, you know, then obviously, getting ready for the draft. I mean, obviously, whoever they take in the draft, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, 18 years old. So it's going to be a number of years, you know, before we see that player. Unless, of course, McClellan sees fit to, trade a pick for, a roster player somewhere. Once upon a time, we traded, I think it was 2011, we traded a first round pick for Troy Brouwer. So, you never really know what happens. It's supposedly a really deep draft, so I think they probably want to keep the pick and take a young player. And then obviously, free agency, you know, is not too far behind that. I heard some of McClellan's, comments and in his end of season press conference, and obviously they badly need to get younger. And he did say, you know, it's a challenge to be able to stay competitive, get younger, and also, let some of the legends on the team, Ovi, Backstrom, guys like that, ride off in the sunset the right way, over the next several years. It's younger, faster, and find the right coach and, make sure also, I think it's very underrated how important assistant coaches are. The teams, and I think that's something else that they really need to. I mean, obviously, when they hire the new head coach, you know, he's going to have his, his favorites as far as who he wants to bring in. But to me, it's not just watching who they hire as the next head coach, but also watching who they bring in as assistants and finding about their background and their previous, record of success. So I think several priorities, both with the roster and the coaching staff and just kind of fine tuning the goings on.
For sure. So C4, we'll throw it to you. What do you think should be the Caps' priority this offseason?
Well, like Jeff was saying, absolutely get the right coaching staff in place. We need a staff that's going to develop the younger players. that is not going to call them up and make them sit in the press box, because why would you call them up if all they're going to do is sit in the press box? But absolutely, first and foremost, first coaching. Player development is a huge must. Over the last couple of years with Laviolette, player development has just tanked. How many times have we been screaming, play the younger guys, give the older guys a rest, play the younger guys? You know, I know you've got your veterans, you want to see them play every freaking game, but they're getting older, they need rest. That's why you bring up the younger guys to fill in every once in a while. The same thing I was saying with, same concept I was saying with Kemper and Lindgren. And that 1A kind of goalie, where you give Kemper that little bit of extra rest he needs, but let Lindgren play a few extra games. That's how you develop, in my mind anyway, develop players. You give them the opportunity. You give them the chance. Yeah, you may not win every game you put them in, but they're getting that experience so that when they are truly NHL ready, they fit into the system, they can start playing, and the team starts developing again and getting younger and faster. I think, and I mentioned this, I believe it was on Sports on the Hill, this thing that Ovi has in this contract that we're not going to rebuild as long as he's on the team or something like that. I don't know exactly what it says, but this has been coming up recently. I think Ovi needs to understand the team as it stands right now is not going to get him another cup. We need the top to bottom systematic changes, starting again, like you said, Jeff, with the coaches, player development. Because if we can't get those younger players developed, we're not going to win. You know, our future is in doubt. I mean, it's going to be a long road, long, hard road for the next 15 years. And if we want to see the Caps back into cup contention in the next 2 to 3 years before Ovi's contract is out, we need to start doing something now, or it won't happen for him. And, you know, I just don't see it happening for him.
Right. And it could even be said that some sort of rebuild or retooling should have begun several years ago.
Oh, at least probably 2019, 2020, you know, cause like these players are always 37, he's going to be 38, 39 by the time he retired, 39 or 40 by the time he's supposed to retire. And truth be told, watching him the other night and watching him the last few games, that's another reason I am legit glad we didn't make the playoffs this year, because that gives him that 3 or 4 extra weeks to rest, recover, recuperate, reflect, figure out what they need before training camp starts again in what, August? So you have
usually late August.
So instead of having only, you know, the tail end of June, July, and part of August, now you have all of May, all of June, all of July, and most of August. That's almost four months where you can rest, recover, train, you know. So, and I think this team needs that. If they want to get back in cup contention in the next couple of years, they're going to need that time to do that, especially if they want to keep Ovi and Backstrom and Oshie and whoever on the roster. Well, they have to, because they're all under contract. Carlson, because they're all under contract. Now, having said all that, there are changes that need to be made. You've got to figure out what you're going to do with Sherry. I'd love to keep him around. He's great on special teams. If he's a penalty kill, power play specialist with filling in on the lines here and there, I think that's a good role for him. The question is, will he take it if it's offered to him? Wilson has already said he's going to stick around. But Mantha is the one that he's like the big one right now that I'm like, what do we do with him? Then you've got Haglin and Brown that have been injured all season. What do you do with them next season when they're ready to come back? So we need to figure all that out. But coaching, player development, and then figuring out what we have. Well, coaching, figure out what we've got, player development and figuring out what we got. Those are sort of interchangeable. It can be done kind of at the same time.
Right.
But if we want this team to be a contender again in 2 or 3 years, something needs to give now, like today.
Agreed. And sure. To piggyback on Cheryl Lynn's point about player development, it did seem like whenever they infused younger players in the lineup, whether it was, obviously starting with signing Dylan Strome, who's in his mid-20s, or, Protoss getting in the lineup, Sonny Milano, Snively, guys like that, it seemed like the team played a lot better, was a lot more enthusiastic. There was one game that kind of stands out. I went to the game against Tampa on November 11th, and being at that game, you would have thought, I think Milano had a couple of goals that night. He had a shorthanded goal.
Yeah, I was at that game too.
Yeah, I mean, the building was rocking. You would have thought the Caps were a Stanley Cup contender watching them that night. Obviously, didn't end up playing out that way. But, I think it definitely seemed whenever they played the younger players, there was a definite uptick, it seemed like, in the enthusm that the team played with. Yeah, and
right.
That was one of the knocks, has been one of the knocks on Laviolette, that he typically favors, the older veteran players, as a lot of veteran coaches do seem to do. But at some point, you really have to get the young legs in there and see what they can do. So
right, yeah, and that's another thing that. When you have injury to key players, like we did with Backstrom and Wilson, think through thoroughly how you're going to bring them back into the system, because we were rolling in December, right? Now, Gil, you and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Jeff, I know you've seen it. We were rolling in December.
Yeah.
And I was at the game when Nikki and Willie came back, and yeah, it was great to see them both back on the ice. And yeah, okay, we won that game one. Yeah, we won it all of 1-0. But then it just seemed like the chemistry just went to crap, because then all of a sudden Laviolette's trying to figure out, how do I fit these guys back in? And the line blender, it was going full force pretty much from that day till almost the end of the season. It was, so think through how you're going to bring that back, And I'm not saying they shouldn't have come back when they did. I'm just saying that I don't think they thought through the process. They thought about that game and they didn't think about what they were going to do. I think a good coach is going to think through. He's going to look at the season as a whole and look ahead, maybe not 82 games, but maybe 2 or 3 games, look ahead, see who you're playing and go from there and figure out who how you're going to get your chemistry, who your lines are going to be, and consistently keep them in. And I'm not saying don't change people around. I think, Gil, we were talking a little bit about the centers, switching, who is it, Strome and Kuzi, I think. Depending on the team we're playing, maybe Kuzi's on the first line this game, Strome on that game. But not every freaking game switching them around. Guys have to know who they're going to be playing with on any given night.
Right. There has to be some semblance of chemistry, and that was never allowed to develop with this coaching regime.
Especially after Willie and Backstrom came back, because we were cranking in December. We had chemistry. We had consistent lines. We were rolling. And then it all went to shit. And I don't know, I'm not a coach. I don't pretend to be a coach. I can just tell you what I see on the ice.
Oh, it's kind of funny, because the Caps went through kind of the same thing the season before, just in a little bit earlier, where they were forced to play a lot of the younger guys, and that was the thing. A lot of their talent in Hershey actually made their Caps debuts in October and November, the year before. Protus, Malenstein, LaPierre, Snively, a lot of those guys, and they thrived, and they won. Alexiev, well, Alexiev, I don't think he got in.
He didn't get in as much as some, but he did. He was there. Oh, no, he was this year.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
But in any case, a lot of the talent from
not
Hershey.
Alexiev. AJF. That's what I was thinking of. Alexiev
Johnson,
was this year.
Johnson Fialbi. Yeah. Who's now unfortunately on another team.
Yes.
Because they couldn't make
that
room for him.
Right. There's another one that went to another team too.
Brett, I think you're thinking of Brett Leeson.
Yes, Leeson.
Yeah.
I liked him too. He was
another part of that core last year that produced and propelled them to a nice early season cushion.
Right. Yeah. And I've talked about this before, trading away the future for the now. You can't do that. You can't trade away the future for the now.
Well, here's what's disgusting. They let Johnson, Fialbi, and Leeson go for nothing. They were waived. They got picked up on waivers by other teams. So that's even more frustrating.
That makes it worse.
When you consider that. But the point I'm making is that, I mean, that was last year. We're not even talking about this year. That was last year. And you would have thought Laviolette would have learned from that in that, okay, ride the young guys a little bit and let them do their thing and, you know, maybe not keep them, maybe send them back after so long, after, you know, the older guys get their legs in front of them, under them again. But for some reason, he didn't do that as much, well, if at all, this year. And, you know, in a sense, it cost them. And look, here's going to be my final word on Laviolette. He's still a good coach, but and I think we made this point together on Sports on the Hill. He's still a good coach, but I think a lot of the nuances of the game that you need to take advantage of, and that, you know, your newer coaches. And the one I'm thinking of is Jared Bednar in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Now knows how to take advantage of is how to keep a decent lineup, how to make sure your defense plays all 200 feet. I think nuances like that, and plus how to keep your lineup together. I think that all has passed him by. I think he's lost touch with how the game is played at the proper level nowadays, as opposed to in the earlier 2000s and the 2010s. I think he's still stuck in those decades, unfortunately. And I mean, if he wants, he could probably continue his career. If he still wants to be a coach somewhere, I'm sure someone will snap him up, but unless, you know, he figures out how the game is played now, I don't think he's going to be anywhere near as successful. I think, unfortunately, he's still kind of dining out on the cup that he won with Carolina all those years ago. But that, you know, no matter how this season went, I don't think there was really a whole lot of realistic chance he was going to come back. And for many different reasons. And yes, you could make the argument that he got a raw deal on the injuries, but you know, there were some things where he could have reacted better regardless, and he just didn't. And bottom line, he's not the right coach for this team going forward into next year and beyond. And management, I think, figured that out fairly quickly. And, you know, and that, so that's the end of that story. Now, as far as priorities, of course, you want a head coach. And the buzzword is you don't want a retread. You don't want an older guy. And I think after this round of head coaching and his predecessor, I think the Caps are. I saw a tweet. I forget who put it out. But I saw a tweet that said, "Well, after the disaster that was these last two head coaches, I think Caps management is going to make damn sure that they get this one absolutely right. And
one would hope.
That means not necessarily getting a retread, but certainly somebody out there who already has head coaching experience. That was the mistake they made after 2018.
Yeah.
They thought they had a guy who was ready. He was nowhere near ready. So if I had my druthers and they hire a head coach, it's going to be somebody that at least at somewhere in the pro level, I don't care if it's ECHL, AHL, or even college, somebody that at least knows how to be a head coach because they've done it already. It has to be someone of that ilk. Now, unfortunately, that's going to disqualify Jeff Halpern. He's never been a head coach at any pro level. So that by that standard, Jeff Halpern's disqualified. And to be honest, while I'd love to see him on behind the Caps bench, I think he's pretty comfortable where he's at. If you think about it from his perspective, you know, he gets to spend, you know, several months out of the year in a pretty good climate. He's on a winning team that's already won several cups. Why would you want to move unless you're really ambitious and he's really got that itch to move up a level, and he may not yet, but the great thing about Halpern is he's been studying at the feet of a master in John Cooper for a long time. And John Cooper is still, I think, one of the best coaches out there. So that would be the benefit in hiring Halpern. But I don't quite see him making that jump yet. I don't know that he's got that desire to make that move just yet. Maybe someday he might, but not just yet. And so that leaves, the names that Jeff mentioned already, Spencer Carberry, probably he would be the front runner. If the Leafs, like a lot of people are expecting, are going to lose again in the first round, because of his ties to Hershey. He was of course the Bears head coach before making the jump to Toronto. So he's already got the knowledge of, you know, the younger guys in the system. He's got an idea of how the pipeline works and what he's got to work with. He's obviously very good at development because the Bears have been a competitive team for quite a while. He might actually be the front runner there, but there might well be another name out there that we don't know about just yet that's bubbling under. But for my mind, it has to be somebody that has been a head coach somewhere. So, we don't need another Todd Reirden. So you don't make that mistake, but young enough to respect that and see that the game has changed and be up on the latest tactics and strategies and management strategies as well. Player management strategies. And like you said, Cheryl Ann, development will be key because you're going to have a lot of younger guys who are going to get ice time even more so. So that's going to be key. Now, on top of that, yes, coaching is key, but something else they're going to need for sure. They are going to need increased secondary scoring. Now, they can do one of two ways. They can go one of two directions on this. They can rely on, and they've already got some forwards that are probably ready to step up now. And so a Sonny Milano, they extended him because I think they expect him to contribute on the second and the third line. Mm-hmm. That's why they extended him. And Strome, as we already said, he's probably going to be your first line center for most of next year.
That would be my guess.
And so, but you know, you've got guys like a Joe Snively, who's always hungry for more ice time. Alexei Protas's game improved by leaps and bounds in the last 2 months of the year. He deserves definitely a long look. I don't know that you put him on the fourth line, but he's definitely third line material right now.
Oh, yeah. He's starting to figure out how to use his body because I've been watching him the last few games. He really is starting to figure it out.
Yeah,
he's a smart kid.
Yeah,
really,
and maybe
most of these kids are smart.
Yeah,
they
just are.
Need the time to get out there and do it.
And I can also see Protus getting some time on the second power play unit.
Oh, yeah,
would,
for sure.
I would love to see him out there on the power play. A guy like that in either the bumper position or the filter the funnel position, like what Marcus Johansson used to do, sit behind mm-hmm. the goal line and filter the puck out to the front. I can see him doing that too. So I would love to, you know, and the coach, and this is where a guy like Blaine Forsythe, go to jail. Don't, go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not even collect your paycheck. Bye-bye. See ya. Doing that to Forsythe, that would be key, because if you have a guy that can really look over this personnel and say, you know what? This power play is good. I can make it even better. Because if you put this guy here and take advantage of this guy's talents here, we need somebody like
and
that.
And stop force feeding the puck to Ovi and allow the other people on the power play to shoot.
I knew you were going to say that. But basically, yeah. a guy who is a hell of a lot better at the X's and O's than this staff was.
Yeah.
That's going to be the difference. As much as anything, but they need to figure out though, if they want to improve their forwards by going with what they got and being patient, or perhaps going after somebody in free agency. And I'll add this as something of a question mark. You guys can pass on this question now or for later, or you try to answer it, but I don't expect you to come up with, an exact deal, but do they make some sort of a deal on draft day to go after the number one pick, or use that pick as Jeff, I think, mentioned already, to go after some big name free agent that'll bolster their offense? Do they pull that trigger or no?
I don't know. All these people who seem to think we're going to get Bedard. I mean, unless the hockey gods are, we're not going to get the number one. I mean, I don't see us getting the number one draft pick. There's no way we'll get Bedard.
Not by the lottery.
Honestly, he's a great player, but depending on who our coach is, if it was LaViolette, I would say, oh, hell no, he doesn't want to come here.
Well, I think they need to figure out who their coach is going to be definitely by the time they get to the final round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think Fantinelli would be a better fit, or Fantilli or whatever.
Fantilli,
his name is.
I think
he would be a better fit.
If the Caps pick third or worse and he's still available, I think he would be awesome. But they're guaranteed a top eight pick, so this is a pretty good draft. A lot of great guys up and down. I've been doing some research. There's a guy by the name of Leo Carlson who's got some size. He's from Sweden. And I think he'd be a great fit too.
Yeah, he was mentioned by our mutual friend as well.
Yeah. So just to publish that, we're going to have a draft day special with said resident expert coming up after those days. And then we're going to go over the draft day doings with him and hopefully see how well he fits. But yeah, they've got to have their new coach in place by the time the draft rolls around. I think if they wait too long, that's going to put them another year behind. But I may be overly optimistic, but if they play their cards right this offseason, they can get right back to at least being a playoff contender. But realistically, I think both you guys are right. I think realistically, it may be probably more like 1 or 2 years at least before they get back to being a winning team again. So,
but I tell you what, it's going to be fun watching them come back.
Yeah,
I mean, with the talent we have coming up, if it's properly developed, it's going to be a hell of a ride with Milano, Strome, Malenstein, Snively, even Michael, LaPierre, Alexiev, all those guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a ride.
I think they've already got plenty of younger guys in the pipeline that can step into the lineup now. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, they're younger and way less experienced. And this is why, you know, the coaching lineup decisions were so frustrating. This could have been the year where they got that experience. And if you're going to miss the playoffs anyway, at least let them get that experience where they get the playing time and learn what not to do. But
right.
You know, it was a wasted year in that regard. So now next year becomes ideally that year. So they're going to be right. Bad for another year.
Oh, at least.
And yeah. Then, and you know, so you got to suffer through that. So that's probably, you know, even more frustrating. So, but that's.
Jeff, feel free to jump in here. You can interrupt us at any time.
Okay. Yeah. No. I was having a good time hearing it. Yeah. I mean.
Sorry, Gil. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but poor.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Well, I also know not to cut you off, not to cut you guys off, but I know Jeff's on a bit of a time crunch as well.
Right.
Yeah, I have a little bit more time right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so if you have any further thoughts, by all means, please jump in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they need to get the Tom Wilson extension done, and I think that's something that both sides definitely want to do. I know, you know, Tom loves being here, loves the city, loves the fans, loves the team. You know, loves his role and place on the team. He's already experienced winning Stanley Cup. I definitely think that's, you know, they can come to a you know, a pretty good number. It's something we haven't talked a whole lot of, you know, for obvious reasons. We had a lot of other issues to discuss. It's the Cousy situation with, you know, he apparently asked for a trade a couple years ago. Recently, he reiterated it. Exactly, you know, do you sit down? You know, obviously he's struggled the last few seasons, especially this season. He did not play well. I would try to move him as best I could while still trying to get, you know, good value from him, all it takes is one other GM in the league to say, hey, you know, we can fix him and turn him into a 100-point guy again. You know, but that obviously is a real wild card. You know, do they sit down? Does McClellan sit down, a new head coach, once he's hired, sit down with Cousy and try to convince him want to stay? Do they try to move him? If they move him, what are they going to be seeking, you know, in return? That to me is really going to be something interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Jeff. Yeah. That's probably going to be the wild card in all this is what they decide to do with him, because he's right now he's probably he played good enough to be the number two center, but I mean, what is he making? Like $7 million a year, $7.5 million a year now?
Yes, 7.8. I'm trying to remember the exact number, but yeah.
Yes, 7.5, 7.8 in that range. And I'm sorry, that's a little much to be paying a number two center. So, like mm-hmm. you said, Jeff, I think it would be wise of them to at least explore what they could get for him, but at the same time, see
it might cost us more to get rid of him.
Well, yeah, that's the danger. But also at the same time, depending on what, you know, who they get for a coach, you know, somebody that can work with him a lot better, you know, and yeah. Sit down with him and say, hey, you know, this is what we expect of you, and we
get
need
your head
this
out of your ass and play hockey.
Yeah, well, I would put it a little differently, but like you, I'm not a head coach.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, true. That is the bottom line. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to, look, we this is what we need from you. We need this all 82 games or however many games you're in. and, you know, finally get that through to him. And but the question is, do you roll the dice on another year, or do you get what you can for him? And, you know, I raised the same question with John Carlson a few years ago, and unfortunately, I think we're at the point where you can't deal with John Carlson now, because he's past the point where, you know, the law of diminishing returns would not apply with him. Yeah. He's unfortunately, his play is going to start to decline, even though, you know, obviously he made something of a difference after he came back. But Kuzi, he's still young enough to where, you know, he can be of great value, not just value, but great value to another team, like Jeff said. And maybe, just maybe, you put in, you know, you offer him up for either a higher round draft pick or another prospect or something like that. But yeah, they're going to have to figure that out. And that's all the more reason to figure out who's going to be the coach, you know, long before draft day comes around, because that's really going to be, you know, what they have to do, because that'll give them the you know, what direction they want to go. As far as the next few seasons.
Yeah, and I saw an article the other day about McClellan talking about Backstrom.
And yeah, we haven't even hit on that, but yeah, that's another something of a sore spot and a question mark that is going to have to be dealt with, unfortunately, sooner rather than later.
Right, because it almost to me, from reading that article, it almost sounds like McClellan doesn't want him to come back.
Well, I got that vibe too, but I think the idea was to let him know, hey, yeah, I get that you're making all this money and you want to be a contributor, but you're going to have to get used to the idea of playing a little bit less. I think might have been the gist of all that.
I think that's what it was. Trying to say, but it was coming out, or the underlying vibe I was getting under that was, you want to consider retiring. But
yeah,
he was trying to say that without saying that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, that's something.
I hope that is not what ultimately he was trying to say. I really do want to believe that it's like, hey, we need to discuss your role in the future, and this is what we think, given your current situation, you know, we'll do. And if you do well in that and you're doing better, then we'll look into, you know, incorporating you more like you used to be.
Yeah. I think the tone was meant to be more of, okay, so you came back, you feel good, but you're not looking as good as we're used to having, you know, seeing you. So I think the tone actually was more like, or was meant to be more like, okay, you know what? We need to see more. We need to see more that you've improved and you're really feeling good. You're telling us you feel good, but we're not really sure you're all the way there yet. I think that was the tone that was meant to be reached. I think it came across, like you said, a little bit harsher than that, but.
Yeah,
but unfortunately,
yeah, apparently he's retired new agents, and they're going to meet with McClellan. So we'll see how that goes.
Good.
Well,
Ovi will be supremely really upset if he doesn't play as much next year. But you know what? Ovi can't always get what Ovi wants.
Right. What was it? Was it Backstrom? Was it Backstrom that hired new agents, or Kuznetsov that did that?
Oh, Kuznetsov. Yeah, I'm talking about Kuznetsov.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's who I thought. But yeah, and he's going to be the biggest wild card of all, because I mean, he's getting number one center money, but we already have a number one in Strome, and he's not playing like a number one, but he still has that potential. So. Yeah, I'm glad they decided not to move him for Tarasenko all those years ago, but you know, we're still not, I don't think we're getting our money's worth with him, just at least not this year anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jeff, did you have, I think, you said, around three is when you had to drop off.
Yeah, I probably have about 10, 15 more minutes.
Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and wrap it up here. We've gone on for quite a while. But let's just go ahead and wrap it up here for the year. So Jeff, thanks very much for coming on with us, and lending us your thoughts on this year. Great job helping us wrap it up. You've given us a lot of things to think about as far as what the Caps can do this year. It's probably going to be the most interesting off season in a lot of years. So I want to thank you for that again, Jeff. And love to have you on later on, certainly next year as we get into the season for sure. So thanks again. Really appreciate it.
And thank you very much. It was a pleasure. I can't thank you enough for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, love to have you on. And if you've got some friends who would also like to discuss the topics with the Caps live with us on the podcast, feel free to let them know. And if you could spread the word about us, really appreciate that as well.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely will do that. Thank you. Thank you again.
Okay. You're very welcome.
Welcome.
Very welcome.
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys will meet up at a game during the next season sometime. So, that'd be great.
Oh, I'm sure I'll get to more than a few next season. I'm not getting season tickets again, but I will definitely make sure I get to as many as possible.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to a few myself next year for sure. Okay, so I think we're going to wrap up the main part of the show here. I just wanted to say a few words now that we're at the end of the year. I'm still loving the hell out of doing this show. We're not going anywhere. The gentleman that we had just on is another reason why I love doing this. Love getting, fans that have been fans of varying experience, observing the team and getting their observations and nuances of how the team goes. I love sharing those ideas. And so because of that, we're going to keep going with that into next year and beyond. Now, the reality of it is that, it might seem easy to you, the listener on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, that it's easy to do a podcast like this, but it's not. And the truth is there's a lot of podcasts who have quite a bit of success. Now, those shows have a lot of nice things going for them, like, corporate backing, ad revenue, big name guests that come on, help spread the word, nice studios to use to record. Well, this podcast doesn't have any of that, unfortunately. Now, what we do have is an even greater resource, though, as we just proved once again, you, the Caps fan. All right. So what we would like is, if you're listening, to spread the word that this is the place for you, the Caps fan, who truly loves the game, loves this team, and you want to come on, you want to discuss how they're doing without judgment. And it's a safe space, as we love to do, and love to present what you, your ideas and who you are. And, as we say, make the Caps fan the star. We only ask two things of you. Accept each other for what can be brought to the family table, and don't be gatekeepers. And the other thing is that if you have a point to make, make it intelligently. Don't just say the team sucks or this guy sucks. That's all we ask.
Back it up.
Back it up with some sort of hockey logic that makes sense. Like Willem Backes. Pardon me. His point of view is that he spent all those years growing up in Montreal watching all those great teams, so he knows what great hockey is supposed to be like. Or Casey Malone, who knows what great athletes are supposed to be like when he spent all his years in Kentucky watching the University of Kentucky basketball team, one of the most successful athletic programs in the country, and all their national championships. Or Dwayne Thomas, and all those years he spent as a phys ed teacher, knowing how to take care of student athletes. And Tom Gobble, he could be a lawyer, knowing how player contracts and the legal issues work. He could be a lawyer, but he doesn't care to be judged. Ha ha. And the young lady that's with me, you know, she began her hockey fandom as a fan of the Boston Bruins. And that, trust me, that's a group that doesn't take losing very lightly at all. And we could learn something.
Me, for the record.
Yes, of course I am. But you could learn something from all of that. And so those are just five examples of people that have something to add from all kinds of different perspectives. So we need you, the Caps fan, to get involved. We would love to hear from you. So get involved, stay out there, but for gosh sakes, do it intelligently and do it from your own point of view, because everybody has a voice. Everybody has something to contribute. So please, we would love to hear from you. And, you know, just keep the word going and let us, you know, help us to grow. Help us to grow in the love of this team and the sport. Because as big as they are, it can keep going.
Yes. And I will say this. These are my boys. They have been for a long time, and they always will be, win, lose, tie. They are my boys, and
yeah,
I'm going to support this team forever.
And we're probably heading into some lean years. And no, I wasn't around during 8, 67, and 5. And if you're older than I am, you know what those numbers mean. I haven't been around that long.
I have friends who are. I have friends who remember guaranteed win nights. If they didn't win, you got a free ticket to another game.
Right. So if you've been around long enough, you know there've been some pretty lean years with this team. And well, it could very well be that we're heading into another one. So but it's going to be fun to watch this team develop and grow, especially if they do it the right way. So no matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is, we want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of the discussion. So as many people as we've had come on with us, many different people, we're looking for even more. So you can start by joining up on our Facebook page. I'll give out my personal email address if you want to discuss it with me, glhallowed@yahoo.com. So that's basically my initials, GLH, and the word allowed @yahoo.com. You have a question. You want to ask me directly, or if you want to be on the show, contact me there or through Facebook Messenger or C4 or Anna Knox, the mermaid. Message one of them as well. We want you to get
Cheryl Ann Forster on Facebook. You can DM me there and I'll put you in touch with Gil.
Absolutely. So now that, you know, we got something of a regular rotation, as it were, making you sound like a pitcher.
It's all right.
But yeah, we want you to stay involved, get involved and stay involved. And we want to hear from you because everybody has a point of view and everybody has something to contribute, I think. And I hope I just proved by those five people I just mentioned that you have a voice and we want to hear it. Your influence counts. You need to use it.
And of course, we can't forget the mermaid.
Oh, of course. Of course not. And she will, as I said, she'll be back rested and ready to go next year to offer her point of view on things and her voice as well. So she's not going anywhere for sure. But we're all different people, but we all have a commonality in that we love the Caps. So again, can't say it enough. Want to hear from you, make you the Caps fan, the star. So I think we're just going to stop it here for now. Gone on long enough for sure. So for the final time in the regular season of 2023, in absentia, the Mermaid Anna Knox, Cheryl Ann Forster as well, C4. This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you,
Here it comes.
That, well, I have a friend named Jack. And he claims he can communicate with vegetables, specifically legumes. You know what those are. I said, well, that sounds like a great story. Let me write that down. Well, I did. And I published it. And you know what I called it?
I know what you called it, but I'll let you say it.
Jack and the Beans Talk.
God.
Okay. Thank God this year is over. I'm sure you're all saying to yourselves and out loud right now, hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.